This hour, the FTSE in London down about 0.3%. The CAC in Paris and the DAX in Germany both down 0.6%. This is NPR News.
WCVE Public Radio. Certified financial planner Brian Ford joins us on the line now from RBC Wealth Management for his Monday morning analysis of business and financial news. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Well, it wasn't a spectacular week on Wall Street last week, but still the markets continued their slow but sure climb, would you say?
I would agree with that, and we'll take it. Listen, we don't need fireworks. Another week of grinding stock prices higher is okay. Market averages are sitting at some levels not seen in the past 4 years. And this just makes investors feel better when they see their statements going up, loosens up the purse strings a little bit. I hear from some clients that actually begin to look at their statements again, which is a big deal.
Right.
However, we have noted, Wayne, some developments that are a little concerning, namely that the breadth of companies going or making new highs has lessened. That means fewer and fewer companies and sectors are leading the charge higher. We do note a big item to watch today is at the news conference that Apple is having. I don't know if you heard about this.
Yeah, it was on the news earlier. They have a big cash account, and they're thinking about issuing the dividend for the first time.
Yeah, there's a conference this morning to discuss whether or not and how much of a dividend to pay. They have nearly $100 billion, that's right, with a B, in cash on their books. Indications are the company would likely pay a dividend of around $14 billion of that, which will give them about a 2.5% dividend yield. One other big economic report of note this week is the leading economic indicators, which comes out on Friday. That's a precursor to what we see over the next couple of quarters.
We talked last week about the stress tests for banks. They were held last week. And how did the banks do?
Well, I think the answer is good, Wayne. We heard a lot of positive buzz about it last week about the banks, this latest round of bank stress tests. There's been several. The takeaway was that 15 of the 19 major U.S. banks passed under what were described as very difficult scenarios. And of the four that didn't pass, SunTrust and Citi apparently were very close and were told to make a few changes to be compliant. But I checked on the criteria used to test the banks. I was interested to see really what they were using. The Fed used these following negative scenarios. Here they are. 13% unemployment is what they assume from the current level of 8. A 50% drop in stock values, that would be a bite. 20% drop in housing from these levels. Another 8% drop in the U.S. GDP, which would lead us into deep recession again, and a significant pullback in other global economies. Now, with most of the banks passing, that immediately led to announcements of dividend increases, and I'm talking big dividend increases like 20-25%, and stock buybacks by the banks. Basically, it was a veritable free-for-all as banks clearly had a lot of pent-up activity waiting to happen. Bottom line, Wayne, this was a very positive sign for the U.S. banks. Now the rubber is going to have to meet the road as these banks try to raise their level of lending and take on further risks on the fledgling economy.
Okay. We have, let's see, almost 3 minutes left.
Good.
Let me ask you about what the Fed is up to. You know, there's probably no entity that is more enigmatic, sometimes mysterious, than the Federal Reserve Board.
Yes.
And its chairman. What do you make of the latest activity?
Well, clearly, Ben Bernanke and his team have been busy beavers for everything these days. They're kind of at ground zero for every financial discussion. But the other thing they talked about last week was interest rate policy. Basically, a metaphorical earthquake rocked Wall Street on Tuesday afternoon after the bank stress test and the Fed announced their interest rate decision would stay the same, which is to say zero interest rates. The Fed did say they saw notable improvements, their words, in unemployment and business spending. Now, that approach is much less dire than they had been recently, and it's leading many analysts to believe the Fed is very unlikely to launch a third round or fourth round, depending on how you count, of fiscal stimulus, which means they may not feel the need to prop up the economy further. Now, Wayne, these are really big seismic changes. Here are the quick reactions. Gold sold off immediately. Bank stocks went straight up. Bonds sold off last week. Interest rates shot up for 10 years and 30 years, the most they've been in almost a year. Clearly, investors of all types are nervous about what to do with their mounds of no-interest cash and their existing bonds. Here are the implications, and they're very wide-ranging. Can the Fed hold on to its zero-interest rate policy through 2014, as they repeatedly say they will? Justifiably, the Fed says they are still concerned about the headwinds of housing unemployment, no doubt. But is this enough of a game changer to signal higher interest rates ahead, or is this merely an adjustment? Individuals would love their higher CD and savings rates, but clearly wouldn't enjoy higher mortgage rates. We need to stay tuned on this one.
Okay. We've got about 40 seconds to go.
Yeah.
One thing that caught my eye, NASDAQ went over 3,000 for the first time in over a decade, right?
Oh, yeah. Big changes. First time over 3,000 since the year 2000. Some big changes to take away since then. Over 100 companies then listed the word .com in the name. Only 18 do now. 9 companies in the NASDAQ paid dividends then. Now over 40 paid dividends. That's a big deal, just like Apple is doing right now. Also, most telling, Wayne, the P.E. ratio, which is how we measure how expensive these companies are. Back in 2000, it was an astronomical 78 PE. Now it's a much more realistic PE of 23. Bottom line, we think that the NASDAQ is a much more interesting place for investors these days. The top five companies in, Microsoft, Cisco, Intel, now it's Apple, Microsoft, and Google. Clearly, investors are 12 years older. Are they wiser? Who knows?
Thanks to Brian Ford at RBC Wealth Management. It's 8:40.